3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're asking the question, why ingratitude? Why ingratitude? A lack of thankfulness. Why do we find such a deficit of thankfulness in our nation today? America, even though we call America the land of the plenty, we have more of everything, ladies and gentlemen, today in America than any other nation on the face of the planet. Our younger generation, however, does not recognize that. Our younger generation, those that you see demonstrating in the street against Israel by the thousands across America, they have no earthly idea what deprivation is about. Most of them are the elitist of the elite, if you will, where moms and dads have the funds to put them in a university or a college where they can have what used to be called a prestigious education, but today it's a brainwashing process that is taking place. These youngsters, if I can call them that, have no earthly idea what it's like to live in a home with no electricity. They have no idea what it's like to live in a home where there's no running water. They have no idea what it would be like to have a meal where there's the bare minimal on the table. They have become accustomed to having plenty, and as a result of that, we're finding a nation of ingratitude. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, as we do each and every day, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. May I say to you, it is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 14:6, says, I am truth. Further in John 8:31-32, as speaking to his disciples, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. And a wonderful text that many have overlooked, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is truth, ladies and gentlemen, that we have almost forgotten in America today. In fact, it was the writer of the dystopian novel, George Orwell, a secularist, that made the statement that is so true today. Excuse me. He said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, a survey that to me is frightening, I don't know about you, but a recent survey says that 55% of the American millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That's an impossibility. I've said before, and I'll say again at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have a lot of people today that are telling half-truths and expecting us to believe them as being truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge today. That's my challenge each day. We need to seek the truth. We need to learn the truth. We need to love the truth, live the truth, tell it, live it, and be willing to defend it, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the era that we're living in, if Jesus tarries, we're going to find that if you stand for truth, you will literally be putting your life on the line. We're rapidly headed for that era in our nation and around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole with the Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find that flag and the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordains to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an amazing thing to me that so many people today do not fully understand, do not recognize, realize what happened back in 1623. 1623, exactly 400 years ago, the first Thanksgiving was celebrated. I'm looking at the proclamation from Governor Bradford, the first Thanksgiving proclamation. Now listen to her carefully. When the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, 1621, two and a half years, it was into the third year when the first Thanksgiving proclamation was given, 1621, November the 29th to be exact. But the intervening 2 years, 2.5 years, major death, deprivation, and disease permeated. Out of the 102 pilgrims that landed, 52 of them had already died that first winter. But yet the governor, Governor Bradford, the one that took the leadership role with the pilgrims, had a Thanksgiving proclamation. I want to use this to set the stage of what we'll talk about today. I want us to set the stage on why ingratitude. What's causing so many Americans to have a lack of gratitude, a lack of thanksgiving, a lack of the recognition that all that we have, every breath, every heartbeat, comes from God. And we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's the proclamation. Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the pilgrims settled at Plymouth. Quote, "Insomuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and insomuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from the pestilences and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now, I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with ye wives, ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim's rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. When that proclamation was given, it was not given when there was a sense of everything is good and there's no problems. The governor, Bradford, set forth that Thanksgiving proclamation for the colony. And many do not realize that just a brief period of time before that proclamation, back in 1621, 22, and portion of 23, they had suffered disease. They had suffered being frozen to death, starvation, deprivation, but yet they gave thanks to God. And I find it difficult to understand why so many today are unwilling to say thank you, thank you, thank you to the Lord. I'll read a couple of other articles, then I'm going to introduce our guest today. Here's a headline, Thanking the Almighty God, the First Thanksgiving. The first official Thanksgiving proclamation by Plymouth Governor, Colony Governor William Bradford 400 years ago provides a key insight into the true meaning of the holiday. Let me just read for you something that I just referred to. Most people do not realize that the first year the pilgrims suffered greatly, and by the first harvest, only 53 out of the original 102, only four of those being adult women, 127 more pilgrims arrived from England that year, stabilizing the population, but showed the difficulty of life at Plymouth. The colony only grew to a total of 200 by 1630. With the scene set, the first unofficial Thanksgiving, November of 1621, was a pretty dismal affair of the pilgrims suffered bad harvest and most of the seed had rotted and had not produced. But here's where I want to go with the article that's speaking of that. This article says, the tragedy that many Americans have forgotten, who we give thanks to, ye Almighty God, as William Bradford stated it. We aren't giving thanks to our friends, our neighbors, our husbands, our wives, or even our benevolent bosses. We're giving thanks to God for all that he has provided for us. In sickness or in health, in wealth and deprivation, it doesn't matter, for every life is blessed in some way. The pilgrims were virtually wiped out by diseases, freezing and cold and starvation. And into the hardship, they gave thanks to God who delivered them and delivered all of us if we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts. This article closes. It is my sincere hope and prayer that this Thanksgiving, while we are preparing for the feast, that we will remember who the true founder of the feast is. That is Almighty God. The same God who the pilgrims praised is the God who we're to praise and give thanks to even today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that sets the stage. We're going to talk about today, why ingratitude? What causes that? Why should we be thankful? And then the lines will be open. We'll be inviting you to call in. Share a word of thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Why are you thankful? Why is this Thanksgiving different? What's different about it? What would you like to say to the other listeners in relationship to you, praising God for Thanksgiving and for what he's doing? I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University, a theology Bible professor. I'm thankful, Dr. Phelps, that you're with me, a subject that I believe you're well-versed on, and that we will have the privilege of having some dialogue and discussion. Share for just a moment as we think about Thanksgiving. Think about for just a moment, Dr. Phelps, a key question that I believe. How would you define Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving is the activity or the exercise of offering our thanks and praise to God for his blessings, his benefits to us as his people.
Amen. Let me just before we take our first caller, Dr. Phelps, ask a question that you and I understand the answer, but for the benefit of our listeners, what are some of the reasons, in your opinion, that so many people today are unthankful?
Well, many people in the world who don't know the Lord do not recognize that all of our blessings in life come from God.
Amen.
That God is so wonderful. He's provided for us so wonderfully. But many people just forget God.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of forgetting God. The scriptures warn us in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So many people are then in that category of human beings who have simply forgotten the God of grace, the God of salvation.
Absolutely. In fact, I have an article that I'll touch on late in the broadcast, if I can call it. Recent survey says that, I believe it's over a fourth of the students at Harvard University say that they're agnostics or atheists, have no belief in God. A little over a fourth. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, I'll tell you the truth. I thank God for being God, number one. I thank my wife, and I definitely thank you for holding on to the truth and trying to help this country get out the bind that we're in and letting people know. And I thank God that people are starting to wake up, because I think the FBI talking about sales in America now, and they can really see, I thank God they can really see what Biden and his, what can I say, his puppet masters has done to help try to destroy this country. But by the grace of God, I believe we're going to survive.
Amen. Kenneth, you're right on target what you've said, and I'm thankful that, as I've made the statements often, I'm thankful that though we see wars and rumors of wars on a global basis, we're seeing God's word fulfilled, but I'm yet thankful that we do not have military forces on the grounds in America coming against our nation. That's a lot to be thankful for when we see what's happening on a global basis. It's a lot to be thankful for when we understand so many people today that have rejected God, and yet God is still on the throne. It's a lot to be thankful for when we have food, clothing, and shelter in America. So, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother.
Can I say one more thing about being
yes,
thankful?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm thankful that these countries that America is trying to force, the LGBTQ and XYZ, whatever they call themselves, trying to force them to do it, and they say no.
I am thankful. I'm thankful for that, because we have that seemingly is the major top priority for this administration. And this is one of the things that's dissipating morals and ethics and values in America. As a result, we're finding the lack of thanksgiving and gratitude coming out of the hearts of Americans. So, Kenneth, we pray that you and your family will have a happy Thanksgiving, that you'll be blessed in the Thanksgiving season, and celebrating what God has done for us. Thank you so much. God bless you. We have Terry on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi. I've heard through my husband that you two are doing well. But as I was listening to you talking, Dr. Youngblood, the government has taken us over, has been taking us over for so long. And I was just realizing, as being a woman in America, the technicals from it. The first was the abortion, taking the Lord's Prayer out of church, the music, I mean, out of schools, yes, and also out of some churches. And then how parents could not chastise the kids. It gave them more power to rule a house than the parent, you know, should have been able to chastise. It was like backwards. And then, it's like you said, there's no morals. And people, even in ministries, prostituting the word of God. And also, too, it was like the destruction over our children through sex and drugs from experience. And I'm 72 now. What can happen to a child at 3 months old and at five? Does she sell her body? Well, not sell her body. The person put money in her hands for whatever happened. And we have let in people who... perversion and other things are coming into our country. And our children, mine, and I see them now like 8 and 9 years old out here in Jacksonville. And the drugs and alcohol has their minds so messed up that if the church is not praying, I mean, the church, I believe God is judging us.
Yep.
But the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, even with those who once walked and told God yes. But I'm thankful that though I still have some of those characteristics, that God is God and He still sits on the throne, and nothing is too hard for Him. So it gives each of us hope every day that we're going to battle, because He's calling His soldiers to the front line. And are we ready? And I thank you so much, and I pray that you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Terry. You're spot on with your analysis, and you touched on something that caused me to think and ponder. One of the major reasons of the ingratitude in America, we've opened our borders to millions. Some have said between 8 and 10 million under the Biden administration of illegals from around the world. They have no idea what Thanksgiving is about. They have no idea anything that would be called a celebration of Thanksgiving. We're watching the dilution and the devolution of the morals, ethics, and the values, just as you spoke of, in America. And as a result of that, we're seeing the end, if you please, and that is the ingratitude on the part of so many Americans. Most in America, Thanksgiving will celebrate. They call it Turkey Day. Most will have a big bash and make it a drunken holiday. Multitudes will say that I'm thankful to God for what I have, but the life, the living, and the praise does not show forth that. So, Terry, it demands that we continue to pray and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. And thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you. Dr. Phelps, I'm thinking about a text that's in Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19, and it's the narrative. I don't like to call it a story. If you say there's a story in the Bible, it's storytelling. It's like saying that it's not true. So there's a narrative in the Bible that God gives us where 10 men were dying, and Jesus healed them, all 10 of them. Only one came back to say thank you. Could you elaborate on that for our listeners and what your insights in that text would say, and what in your thoughts, the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer, why 9 had no gratitude and only one, but talk about that for a moment. It's such a powerful text in my mind that I thought it'd be good for the listeners to understand that text.
Well, one of the things we can take from that text in the Bible is the fact that not many people want to acknowledge God and His work in our lives. We do not recognize God and His miraculous power in our lives. One of the things that I have learned recently is that God is so involved in our lives that He gives us even the breath that we breathe.
That's right.
And Paul dealt with that when he was preaching on Mars Hill. And he told those people there that that we, in God, in Him, we live and move and have our being.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means that every part of my body, every little part, substance of my body, even the atoms, the smallest particle in the universe, mm-hmm. Make up my body. But God is the one who keeps it going.
That's right.
We have a lot to learn about the energy that's in the world. But when we come down to the bottom line, God is back of it all.
Yes.
It's not evolution, or it's not just chance. It's not just something that we assume has been around forever. God is the creator and sustainer of everything. So we should acknowledge God. And so much of the time, we just simply forget that God is our creator. God is our sustainer. God is our provider. God is ever mindful of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply leave God out of our lives.
That's the key. That's the element.
We don't recognize that our blessings come from Him.
That's right. That's right.
So much in the Bible, especially the Psalms, that I appreciate. And I have come to realize that one of the things we really need to do is to incorporate thanksgiving into our devotional life.
Yes.
Into our prayer life.
It shouldn't just be on Thanksgiving Day. It shouldn't be on just one day. And before you share that thought that you have, I go back to the thought on the nine that Jesus healed all ten. Only one came back. And the scripture says that one that came back fell down at the feet of Jesus in humility and praised him, glorified God. Now, the other nine, I'm sure, were thankful that they'd been healed. I'm sure that they were recipients of God's healing through the miracle that took place, but they did not take time to recognize it and to praise God for it. I think we're in such a fast track in America, with Americans on such a level of having plenty of everything, that we fail to recognize that it's the benevolent hand of God that provides it for us. That, it, as you said, every breath is in under His control. Every heartbeat is under His control. I'm looking at one article that says, question, should Christians celebrate Thanksgiving? This writer says, yes, Christians should celebrate Thanksgiving. It's a time to thank God for the blessings of our life. Celebrating Thanksgiving and declaring what we are thankful for shows our adoration for God Himself, end quote. And then it goes on to talk about the history of Thanksgiving. But continue with your thoughts in relationship to your findings biblically and what the scripture says about Thanksgiving.
Much of the book of Psalms and other parts of the Bible are filled with words that can be used by us as we verbalize our thanksgiving to God. Now, I use that word verbalize because so much of the time we do not actually do that. We simply do not know what to say mm-hmm. when we pray.
Yeah.
So that's where we have the scriptures as a wonderful heritage of believers today.
Amen.
Because in the Psalms especially and the other scriptures, we find words that we can verbalize mm-hmm. when we are speaking to God in prayer. There is no scarcity of words to say.
Dr. Phelps, hold your thought there for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll come back as we continue to focus on Thanksgiving and asking the question today, why ingratitude? Why ingratitude? So many of our folks in America today, as Dr. Phelps just said, might think about Thanksgiving, but it's not verbalized in praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done for us and for what He's given to us and the health and strength we have, and as a nation as a whole. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.